good day, everybody. The Waltzing Bugle Boy is here, otherwise known as Mike, your online Bible study buddy. It's good to have you with us on this Monday. It's the Panic Podcast, a place where the Bible makes sense. Now, we're in the book of Judges this morning, or today, whenever you're listening to this. Judges chapter 4, because we're going to start our series about the call of God, the urgent call, by looking at the call to be strong, particularly in three people's lives: Deborah, Barak, and a young lady by the name of Jael. And that's what's on tap for today on the big podcast, the Panic Podcast. Well, I hope you all had a really good weekend, and hope you had good church services yesterday. We had a pretty good service. Had a couple visitors. That's always nice to see strange faces in church. Yeah, that probably came out wrong. It's not that their faces were strange. It's just that they're strange. We don't, they're different. I'll stop while I'm ahead. Judges chapter 4, as we begin a series looking at the call of God. And over the coming weeks, I want to walk through the lives of several men and women in the Old Testament whom God summoned into decisive action at critical moments in Israel's history. We'll look at people like Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, Moses, and others. Each of these people received a call that was not abstract or theoretical. It was urgent, and it demanded strength. It required faith that moved beyond private devotion into very public obedience. Now, the first of these accounts is found in Judges 4, and I'm calling the message today Called to Be Strong, and it's a very deliberate title because the book of Judges itself is filled with weakness, all kinds of weakness, moral weakness, spiritual weakness, national weakness. Yet in the midst of all that pathetic weakness, God repeatedly raised up people and says, in effect, be strong, get up, rise up, lead, and fight. What we'll see today is that the God often works through leaders who not only answer the call themselves, but who also are able to draw the call out of other people. Like, leadership in God's kingdom is almost never solitary. It's frequently collaborative. Deborah in the story doesn't merely receive a word from the Lord. She must actually challenge a fellow by the name of Barak with that word until he finally steps into the role that God has called him to. So that dynamic, leadership that awakens the calling in others is what today's message is all about. Now, if you are at all familiar with the book of Judges, you know that this chapter opens with the all too familiar and very tragic refrain: again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord now that Ehud was dead. It's verse 1. Verse 2 says, so the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Herosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, the wife of a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. I'll tell you what, two decades, that's an awfully long time to live under the boot of an oppressor. Jabin's military was technological as well as numerical. 900 iron chariots represented the most advanced weaponry of the day. And against that kind of force, Israel's tribes were intimidated, they were scattered, and for the most part, unarmed. The oppression was cruel. The text does not soften the language. I mean, it was bad and getting worse. But now I want you to notice the sequence. First, evil in the eyes of the Lord, then judgment, And then, in this case, after 20 long years of misery, a cry. Now, Israel's pattern in the book of Judges is painfully obvious and consistent. Sin, slavery, supplication, salvation, and then a return to sin all over again. And yet God, in his great patience, still hears their cry every time. Now, there's a little lesson here, a little pastoral word for all of us. God does not wait for perfect repentance before he listens. He hears the cry of a people who finally realize they cannot save themselves. There's literally nothing they can do to help themselves out of the situation they themselves got themselves into. I think a lot of us probably know what it's like to live for years under one form of oppression or another, maybe not political, but certainly personal, like the long tyranny of some habitual sin that we just can't seem to let go of, the grinding weight of a broken relationship, the quiet despair of spiritual blindness. The first movement toward deliverance must always be the same. For goodness sake, cry out to God. Swallow your pride and just cry out to God for help. Now, but you need to notice something here. Notice what the cry does not produce immediately. There is no instantaneous miracle. There's no lightning bolt from heaven. Instead, what does God do? Well, he begins to work through people, ordinary people with extraordinary assignments. The cry of the people becomes the occasion for the call of leaders. Well, verse 4 introduces us to what I think is a most remarkable woman, one of the most remarkable figures, male or female, in the whole Old Testament. Her name was Deborah. Now, Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lipidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. This woman, Deborah, she's both a prophetess and a judge. In a time when, as the book of Judges says, everyone did what was right in his own eyes, she was already a steady source of God's wisdom and judicial authority. I mean, she doesn't seize power. She simply exercises the authority God has given her. People come to her. She doesn't chase them down. And then the Lord speaks through her to a guy named Barak. She sent for Barak, verses 6 and 7. Deborah sent for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun," those are tribes, "and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River and give them into your hands." Now, here's the challenge. Deborah does not invent a plan and then go looking for someone to execute it. She simply delivers the command of the Lord. Now, I'm reading from the TNIV, and the TNIV doesn't indicate it, but it seems that Barak's call had already been delivered, that Barak had already been dealt with by God. I'm going to read it from the CSB because I think it's a little more accurate. Verse 6 from the CSB. "She summoned Barak, son of Abinoam from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, 'Hasn't the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go deploy the troops on Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men from the Naphtalites and the Zebulunites?'" So it seems that Barak was already aware of what God wanted him to do, but for some reason just wasn't doing it. So Deborah's role here isn't to deliver the call to Barak, but rather to draw out that existing call into the open and press it upon him. This is leadership of a very particular kind. This is not the leadership that creates a vision from scratch and then recruits followers. It's the leadership that discerns what God has already spoken and then courageously holds others accountable to it. Now, Deborah does not say, "Hey, Barak, I have an idea. Listen to this." No, she declares very pointedly, "God has spoken to you, man, so get up and go." Now, this guy, Barak, he's from a place called Kadesh, located in the tribe of Naphtali. That was far, far to the north in Israel. Deborah, meanwhile, she's in the hill country of Ephraim. The distance between the two of them is significant. But she doesn't wait for Barak to come to her. She sends for him. Well, leadership sometimes requires initiative. It requires seeking out the person God has marked and then placing the call squarely before him. The content of Barak's call is military and strategic. Basically, gather 10,000 men from the two tribes and go to Mount Tabor. God himself will draw Sisera, that's the enemy, out to the Kishon River and give him into Barak's hand. The promise is clear. The strategy is divine. All that remains is obedience. Now, I don't want you to miss the theological weight of this moment. God could have easily delivered Israel without anybody's help. Like, do you seriously think the God who spoke everything into existence out of nothing needs your help or mine? Of course not. However, he chooses to use us and people like us, regular, everyday people. I mean, God could have struck Sisera's army with some kind of plague or confusion as he'd done before on behalf of his people, but not this time. Instead, God chooses to work through the obedience of a prophetess and a judge named Deborah and a military commander, Barak. God goes out and he chooses people to be strong. Now, Barak's response, I think, is interesting. It is honest, but it's incomplete. Look at verse 8. Barak said to Deborah, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." I mean, gee whiz. Now, some interpreters are hard on Barak at this point. You know, they look at him and they see cowardice or a lack of faith. That's entirely possible. Now, the text itself is a little more measured. Deborah does not rebuke him for requesting her presence. Instead, she simply agrees, but then she issues a very sobering word. Look at verses 9 and 10 of Judges 4. "Certainly I'll go with you," said Deborah. "But," yeah, there's always a but, eh? "But because of the course you're taking, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went with them. Now, you know, if you don't know the story, it sounds like Deborah's the one that's going to get all the credit. It says, remember she said, "The Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." Well, I mean, she's the only woman in the story so far, right? Well, not so fast, Tiger. But this is collaboration. Okay? Barak, he will not go alone. And Deborah will not force him to go alone. She gets up and goes with him. 10,000 men gather to fight, and the army moves. Now, notice what collaboration looks like in this text. It isn't the erasure of distinct roles, because Deborah remains the prophetess who speaks the word of the Lord. Barak remains the military leader who must muster the troops and lead the charge. So collaboration doesn't mean that everyone does everything. It means that each person supplies what the other lacks so that God's mission may proceed. Now, Deborah's willingness to get up and go with Barak is itself an act of strength. And to be honest with you, it's an act of courage. I mean, she leaves the relative safety of her palm tree. Sounds like an ideal location to me. And the judicial work which she'd been doing. I mean, and she steps into a war zone. Leadership that calls others to risk must be willing to share that risk. Well, the outcome of the story is well known. I'm sure you know all about it. God throws Sisera's army into a panic. A sudden storm turns the Kishon River into a mighty torrent that disables, swamps the chariots. Barak's forces pursue. Sisera jumps out of his chariot, flees on foot, and is killed by a woman. Yes, the other woman in the story, a young lady by the name of Jael. And Jael kills Barak with a tent peg through the head. Have mercy. The victory is total and complete, and it's a woman, Jael, not Barak, who gets the honor, precisely as Deborah said. Now, if you read Judges chapter 5, which we're not going to do, it records the song of Deborah and Barak, you know, after the fighting was done and they get back to her palm tree. You know, Deborah says, you know, Barak, let's write a song about our victory. And they do. And their song is a theological interpretation of the battle that gives all the glory to God while celebrating the willing participation of the tribes and the courage of individuals. Now, that's a great story. But what does it teach us about the nature of godly leadership and the call of God on all children of God? Well, first of all, the call of God often comes in the context of the people's cry. Deborah and Barak, they don't invent a crisis in order to create a platform for their lives. They respond to a genuine need that has driven people to prayer. Healthy leadership is not restless influence. It's attentive to the affliction of God's people and the word of God concerning that affliction. Second, the call of God is sometimes, maybe more often than not, mediated through other believers. Like Barak receives confirmation of God's call through Deborah. Now, this doesn't diminish the directness of God speaking, but it does illustrate the ordinary means by which God often works. He uses the courage of one to summon the courage of another. I mean, think about this. I mean, how many of you are serving the Lord today because someone else introduced you to God's word or confirmed God's word in your life? Yeah, parents, grandparents, elders, old saints in the church. Listen, your willingness to speak the call of God into the lives of others is part of how God raises up the next generation. Thirdly, leadership that is secure in its own calling is free to collaborate with others. You know, there's no indication that Deborah felt threatened by Barak's request for her presence. She doesn't insist on going along or going alone or receiving the credit. She's willing for another woman, of all things, to get the honor entirely. You know, secure leaders, they're not jealous of the gifts or the recognition of others. They're jealous for the work of God to get done. Fourth, the call to be strong is rarely a call to solitary heroism. Look, even the inside and outside of the church, of course, we're dealing with the body of Christ, but this is true outside of the church too. Even the most gifted leaders need help some from time to time, and they need the strength of others. Barak needed Deborah's prophetic courage, and he also needed her presence. Deborah needed Barak's military leadership, and they both needed the 10,000 men who followed him. Jael, the hero of the piece, she didn't need an army, and she didn't need a prophetic voice. All she needed was that tent peg and a hammer. And the opportunity God placed in her tent and the courage to act. The body of Christ is simply designed this way. No one is called to do everything, but everyone is called to do something. And often that something is best done with others. Now, I don't know who you are listening to this podcast. I know some of you listen to it every week. But some of you are living under a very long oppression. That's not a word of knowledge. It's common sense. Some of you are dealing with persistent sin that you just can't get a handle on. Or fear, or discouragement, or some external pressure. Look at the first step for you is the same as Israel's. For goodness sake, just cry out to the Lord, would you? Don't wait till you feel strong enough to pray. The cry itself is the beginning of strength. Now, some of you also already know that the Lord has spoken to you. You've sensed a call to step out, step up, and step into greater responsibility. Maybe in the home, maybe in your church, in your workplace, in some specific act of obedience to the Lord. You need to hear and take to heart the challenge of Deborah. The Lord has commanded, now go. Some of you are in positions of influence, whether you realize it or not. Maybe you're parents or grandparents. Maybe you're a teacher or an elder in church. Your calling includes the responsibility to summon others. Do not assume that people simply discover God's will all on their own. Some do, most will not, especially if they're children. You need to speak the word of God into their lives. Challenge them. Go with them if necessary. Leadership that draws out the call in others is one of the most powerful ways that God advances his kingdom on earth. And all of us need to remember that the ultimate strength we need to serve God and live out his call is not found in ourselves. The Song of Deborah in chapter 5, ends with a prayer. Judges 5:31. So may all your enemies perish, Lord, but may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. The rising sun is a picture of the irresistible strength given by God. Of course, in the fullness of time, that strength has been revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true and greater deliverer, who heard the cry of the world under the oppression of sin and death. And he didn't just send a prophet, he came himself. He didn't just collaborate with others. He bore the full weight of the battle alone on the cross. But he rose in power so that we might be strong in him. The call to be strong is finally a call to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Deborah and Barak point us forward to the one who calls us, equips us, and goes with us. Okay, gang, that's it for this glorious Monday. It's the 7th of September as I'm recording this. I can't believe that we're already 1 week through September. Where did the summer go? Where did it go? Listen, have a great rest of the day today. We'll be looking for you again on Wednesday, Lord willing, for the next Panic Podcast. But in the meantime, have a great rest of the day today, and we'll talk again soon. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening.